Hello, PMP.
We are going to get started on some office hours tonight, the day before Thanksgiving. I'm curious to see how many people are here and what you guys are planning and how things are going with this holiday week and what kind of coaching you need. So as you come on in, I'll remind you that, hey, Angie, that I'm here for 2 hours. I'll get through as many of you as I can get through. We'll just turbo jam all the way through. If you want to be coached tonight, raise your hand. There's a little hand thing at the bottom of your screen. If you want to talk to each other, you can do so in the chat. Make sure you are talking to all panelists and attendees. Okay. Otherwise, I'm the only one who will see your message. And sometimes I check them and sometimes I don't. So that's the drill. Let's see who we've got going here. I have one hand. So, okay, y'all. If anybody's here who wants to be coached, you just raise that hand up and we'll get started with AC9700. Let's see who you are. Here you come.
Can you hear me and see me?
I can. How about that?
Okay. Good. Well, I'm sorry I'm breaking the rules, so I can hang up if you want because I didn't expect to be first.
What rules are you breaking?
Well, it said to be on a computer, no moving around, all that good stuff, but I have my puppy outside and...
Well, here's the fun thing. Corinne is, I don't guess I'm telling any tales out of school, but she gets motion sick.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, I don't. I'm okay with you being outside. I really prefer that you not be driving because...
No, I'm not.
I would be devastated if you guys ran right off the road while we were talking. So, but being outside with your dog is fine with me.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
Yeah. So what are we coaching on?
I have an issue, obviously, and it's between my husband and I, and it's to the point where if things don't change at some point, it will cause a divorce. And I want to create better thought patterns to help the situation and help him and help me.
Okay.
And so I thought maybe you could run through the model with me because, and it's not really something that a model is going to magically fix. But he is someone who holds on to things that have happened in the past. So his ex cheated on him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is bleeding over onto us and to the point of like it's affecting our sex life. It's affecting pretty much everything.
Okay. So you're right. The model doesn't fix things. What the model does is it shows us how our thoughts about a circumstance create the results in our life. Okay.
Okay.
And just for an overview for everybody who's listening, you're the only one who can be in your result line. So okay. None of the models we do are going to change him.
Okay. And what that's fine. I just want to get my thoughts.
Right. What they're going to do is help you frame your thoughts about him.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because in any relationship, all you have control over is how you show up.
Right.
Your husband is going to be who he is. And you're going to decide whether or not you love him as he is or whether or not the marriage is not for you. I mean, that's basically the nuts and the bolts of it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So just kind of as a side note, this is so interesting it comes up because... You know, in March, we're having a whole weekend on relationships, and this is the kind of stuff we'll cover. So I'm really interested to get into your models and see what we can find.
Okay. Good. Okay.
All right. So give me a starting point.
Yeah, and that's why I haven't done one because I can't seem to generalize it enough.
Don't generalize, just start talking. Because I can pick models right out of your brain.
Perfect. because I can't apparently.
That's okay.
So most recently, it's been about just her cheating and his fear. And he keeps telling me, you're not her. And I'm fully aware of that. It's like he's reminding himself. And not without being too graphic, recently, we had a situation where he had, a feeling come about during intimacy that was reminded him of his past and how awful it felt at the time. And that's created a huge issue because I feel like he's bringing another woman into our bedroom. And so I feel like, you know, I'm betrayed and almost kind of cheated on type feeling. And I wish he would just freaking get over it. Everybody has baggage, but I think he's getting something out of being a victim for 8 years.
Okay. So when you feel betrayed, what do?
I lash out and pull back.
I'm writing down the other thought I heard. Okay. So you lash out, but then you withdraw?
Mm-hmm. Initially, I lash out and then I withdraw.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I mean, obvious. Well, that's a feeling. I was going to say I feel sad, but that's a feeling. No, it's okay. Pretty much both of those. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to give you the husband that ex cheated as your C line.
Okay.
He's bringing another woman into our bedroom is the thought. You feel betrayed. You lash out and withdraw. What do you think the result is here?
A worsening problem for sure.
Yeah. You detach.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Well, I can't spell detach. Okay. From the relationship or from him. We'll just say from him. You detach from him. So we've got another woman. I thought that there's another woman in the bedroom. So you just kind of detach.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So you agree with all this?
I do. Yeah.
All right. Let's model this thought. I wonder if you heard yourself say it. He's getting something out of being the victim.
Yes, definitely. That's something I think often.
Is this a thought or a fact?
Oh, I'm sure it's a thought because it's subjective. I know it's a thought because it's not, you know, something that would hold up in the court of law.
Yeah, I think your logical brain believes it's a thought. I think that's very true. Do you say this to yourself a lot?
I have recently. Well, it's been an ongoing issue for about a year. I moved for him. Mm-hmm. Clear to another state, left my kids and grandkids. Mm-hmm. And it's been an ongoing issue, but now it's gotten into the more intimate parts, and that's okay. Where I'm drawing the line. Okay. So yes, over the last 24 hours, I would say I'm definitely repeating that to myself.
All right. What do you think he's getting out of being the victim?
I think he's getting sympathy. From what I've seen, his family doesn't like to let go and they like to point fingers at somebody else who's to blame. Mm-hmm. So I think he gets sympathy from his family. I think mm-hmm. he gets a little bit of vindication.
Why is that a problem? Did he get sympathy and vindication from his family?
Because it's 8 years ago and it's affecting us.
Okay.
I feel like, you know.
Why is it affecting you? Because it's in the bedroom now or because of some other reason?
Because he is affected by his thoughts regarding this, and now he doesn't want to be with me as much. And that, yeah, that's an issue.
Okay. So he's getting something out of being the victim. What is it? How does this make you feel?
It makes me feel angry.
Angry. Okay. And when you're angry, what do you do?
I blame. I pull away. Detach.
Yeah, we're detaching again, right? What do you think this result is?
Resentment and
I think I'm you're also a victim. You also find yourself as a victim. Think about that for a minute. You're blaming. Yeah. You know, blame's a big victimization word. If you're blaming someone else for something that's going wrong in your life, you have ceded control to them. So
yeah, and I've tried really hard through this because I've been doing a lot of thought work. Thank God for PNP, honestly. I've been doing a lot of thought work around this, and I even told myself today, I'm not a victim. I am very capable of making a decision based on the facts of what I see, trying to keep my feelings from being in the equation. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I had said that it is a possibility that it would end our marriage, because I refuse to make this at my expense any longer. Okay. So, I mean, it is interesting that I would be playing the victim also.
I didn't say you were playing the victim. That was your words.
Okay.
I think you are, because of the blame, I think you are also feeling victimized. You have ceded control of the situation.
Yeah. No,
You're blaming someone else for how you think and feel about it. And it could be him, and it could be her, could be something else. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So let's do this. I don't want to take you to a super duper intentional model, because I think you need to live here for a little while and understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. But what I would like to do is see what it looks like if you take control back of the relationship, of your part in the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if we're in blame, what happens when we take blame away? Okay.
Sorry, I'm grabbing my pipe.
All right. So what does someone do? We'll start with the action line. I love starting at different places in the model, because I think it's sometimes you have to pick the easiest part to start first. So someone,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And because you can always ask yourself questions and go up or down the model, right?
Yeah.
So what does someone do who feels more in control when they show up in their relationship?
I think they're more confident in themselves. I think that there's less reactionary type. I don't know. I can't say what I'm thinking.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. There's less
reaction.
Emotional reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What else?
You feel like you have choices, I guess, not trapped.
You look for choices. Mm-hmm. You ask for help.
Yes, definitely.
What else? Anything with him?
Give me an example, I guess.
Communicate, discuss, argue.
Yeah, I mean, we've been discussing, but, and this is my side, he doesn't see it as a choice that he's choosing to relive this stuff, mm-hmm. choosing to bring in the past, choosing to not move forward.
Yeah.
He sees it as something that's happening to him. And so I don't really know how I would, that's why I'm seeking out help to kind of rewire my brain as to how I can.
All right. So this is so interesting, because it happens so often in PNP where we have elevated our own thought work and we really want everyone around us to elevate theirs. Mm-hmm. Well, he hasn't.
Right.
Right? A lot of our husbands haven't. A lot of our husbands look at us like, what do you mean? Take responsibility. They did this to me, right?
Yeah, and yeah.
That's what happens. So in this situation, part of your action line almost has to be accept where he is and look for resolution some way, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
While you believe in yourself and you don't react as emotionally and you look for choices and you ask for help, maybe the result becomes understanding him better or understanding where the relationship is going or something. What do you think?
Yeah, yes. And I was thinking in that too. I remember, you know, obviously we can't change others. And we had discussed, you know, I told him last night, if you are working through this, although he said he's going to be working through it for the past year and I haven't, mm-hmm. there, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. I said, if you are working through this and don't feel you can move past it, then mm-hmm. let me know, like, give me the decency to know.
Yeah.
And make a decision from there.
Okay. So and, I'd almost call that communicating with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then my fear is that he's still going to choose his awful past over me. And I know that's his choice, but that's a fear. Mm-hmm. Okay. So accepting him as he is, I almost feel like is making more leeway for that possibility, which is
easier, to accept him or to change him?
Well, I'll accept him.
Mm-hmm. Which is within your control, accepting him or changing him? Same thing, right? So yeah. In order to do these things, how do you have to feel?
I honestly don't know. Because
in order to believe in yourself, believe in your thought work, understand where this is coming from, react less emotionally, look for choices, ask for help, do you have to feel calm or settled? Or
yeah. Peaceful.
Peaceful? Which one do you like?
Well, not
there?
Necessarily at peace, but I mean, mm-hmm. Just, I guess, resigned. Yeah, controlled. I was saying resigned, but basically just knowing that I'm not going to change him. So however the outcome is going to be what he is choosing. And I can't change that. So I need to just accept.
But see, okay. There's something else. Whatever the outcome is, isn't 100% his choice. He could come to you and say, your name is Audrey. Audrey, yeah. I don't know if I can let this go. Then you make a choice to either stay with him and help him work through it or get out.
Yeah.
Right. So ultimately, whether or not you stay is your choice. It's not his.
True.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was looking at it from the other standpoint.
Again, you ceded control to him, right?
Yeah.
When you said, just let me know if I need to go or not.
Yeah. Yes, right? I did. Yep, definitely. And I didn't even see that until now.
Right. So ultimately, this result line is up to you. When it comes to how you show up in the relationship. So if you're trying to access controlled rather than what was the unintentional feeling? I can't even remember now.
I know
it was like scared or fear or
I think it was fear. It was fear.
Fear, right? If you're controlled and you're doing these things, your result is going to be, you know, showing up for yourself in the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you have to do. That's your responsibility to yourself and to the relationship, is to show mm-hmm. up. What thought leads you to controlled?
I've been telling myself, and I honestly believe it, that either way that I'm going to be okay. you know, with whichever outcome I choose and he chooses, that
ultimately you'll be okay. Do you like ultimately?
Yes, because it's not going to be.
Is that true? Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what else I have. I have kind of obviously negative and fearful thoughts about it, but
Here's what I would do. I would make a list of all those negative and fearful thoughts. Every single one of them. There might be, you have a lot of them. I don't care if they are blaming, or I don't care if they're ugly. I don't care if they're full of fear. I want you to write them all down.
Okay.
And then I want you to go back through them and ask yourself, is this true? Is this really true? Is this really true? One of the things Corinne teaches us over and over and over is to question everything. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard her say that.
Yes. So you, just some crazy example. What if I had a thought today that I'd look good as a blonde? No, it's not true. I wouldn't. Okay. Oh, I should try blonde. No. Right. You're going to have these suggestions. They're like urges, right? Urges mm-hmm. are suggestions
mm-hmm.
to take the easy road, to justify why you should stay or why you should go. You're going to have all these thoughts in your head. They're all going to be jumbled up in there. And I think that's mm-hmm. what's happening right now, is you've got like a whole bunch of them wound up in there like a big cobweb, like a big spider's mm-hmm. web. And until you can actually put them down on paper and look at them one by one to see if they're actually true or relevant or sustainable, then you can go back through and you can work some more models and you can think, is this one that really lands with me or not? Scratch that one off the list.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's a really great, I have been journaling. I haven't gone back through to see my thoughts. I haven't had time because we had the big discussion last night and then I worked today. And so I haven't really, but I think that's a really great idea because yeah, you're right. Everything is jumbled in my head. That's why I couldn't even write out my own because I didn't even know where to start.
Yeah. I would write them list form. One, I don't know if I want to stay. Two, he's playing the victim. Three, what was one of the other ones you said? He's getting a lot out of being the victim is maybe what you said.
Yeah.
Four, he's let someone else into our bedroom.
Yeah. Huh?
Mm-hmm. What did you say?
He's bringing somebody else into our bedroom. He's choosing the past over me.
He's choosing the past over me. All these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then with a clear head, go back through and read them. Is he really choosing the past over you? Or is he just so terribly insecure that he doesn't know how to handle himself right now?
Yeah, not very well. I'm sure that's it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to question each one to see if that's really the thought you want to pursue and then really the one you want to let land.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
Does that help? Right. Yeah, it does a lot. It gives me a direction for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I am back in Ask Coaches in 2 weeks. If you want to come mm-hmm. for follow-up,
okay.
You can also post in Ask Coaches. Betsy's on vacation, so it's all me till next week.
Well, I mean, and that's, I chose you on purpose. So.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome.
That's nice.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck and do some thank good you. Work on this. Okay. Make sure you're showing up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you remember that you are the thought master here. So
true.
With that comes responsibility, right?
Yes, which is scary. Okay, thank you so much, Kathy.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Janie, you're next. Then Laura. And that's it. So raise your hand if you guys want coaching.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you
doing?
Good. I I had some coaching on models the other day.
Okay.
Because I just was trying to figure out my feelings. Well, I had this incident where my feeling was very clear to me. I had no trouble figuring it out. And okay. I feel like I did a spectacular model on it. I thought downloaded 5 paragraphs and there was only 1 fact in the whole thing.
Look, so, that you did a good thought download.
Yeah. So, and I feel like my unintentional model's accurate. My intentional model's accurate. How do you make it stick? Because the thing that's going on, it'll be over soon, but while it's going on, there's just raging jealousy. Like, I just don't know how to apply my intentional model, you know?
Well, let me ask you this. Is your intentional model too far out there for you to, for it to be believable?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, tell me what your intentional model is. Let's write it out.
Okay. So my music partner was singing with, it happened the other day. He was singing with someone else that day. He's okay. going to be doing something with someone else.
Partner singing with someone else.
Right. Okay. And my intentional model says, mm-hmm. this takes nothing away from me.
You believe that? No, yeah. You don't. Look at you. All right. Let's back the truck up. Tell me what the unintentional model is.
Okay. The thought on that one is he wants to sing with her instead of me.
Okay. Is that true?
No.
Okay. What if it was?
Well, I'd be sad.
Okay.
I'd be sad and it would change like a lot of stuff in my life. And, yeah.
So why is he singing with her right now?
It's his cousin. She used to sing with us and then she, mm-hmm. she got mad and left and, mm-hmm. So she's it really, I think what it is he wanted to sing again at the place where she lives. And he asked me, did I want to go sing with her? And I said, no, because I don't. And, okay. and so then he said he was going to be singing. He was going to go. She called him mm-hmm. and asked him and that, so he wanted to go sing there. And I felt like that was untrue. And that set up my kind of like jealous feelings and I don't think it's true and you know that he wants to sing with her instead of me mm-hmm. but it's just that's just my fear.
Okay, so what's the feeling here? Fear,
jealous, and sad.
That's what happened it was to fear that day.
well yeah,
which is it, which is really the more predominant feeling, jealous, sad, or fear?
Jealous. Because I don't really believe it.
Okay. And the action when you're jealous?
Worry.
Anything else?
Pout.
Anything else? Do you, like, are you nasty to him? Are you ignoring him? Are you eating?
No, but,
are you?
But I pout, which is kind of goes in there, okay. you know. Yeah.
Okay.
And the result is I waste time worrying about something that might not ever happen. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, something that probably won't ever happen.
Okay.
So
I'll give you that, waste time worrying. It doesn't really reflect the thought. I think one that really reflects the thought is that, I act like someone he wouldn't want to sing with.
Maybe.
Or be with.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, maybe.
Does he know you're pouting?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I think that's probably your result.
Okay.
I act like someone he wouldn't want to sing with or be with or whatever. Because who wants to hang out with somebody who's pouting? When they said no, when they were invited.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have your unintentional model. It's pretty good. So you think going from, I'm going to do this. I'm going to use a different color marker.
Okay.
What was the intentional thought again?
This takes nothing away from me. Because I'm not missing out on any of our, you know, gigs or practices or anything. He hasn't, you know, he hasn't said, well, I can't do this because I'm singing. I'm going to be doing this one thing with her. So okay, I haven't lost anything.
So if you really believe you haven't lost anything, why won't this thought stick?
It's just a fear. It's this fear of abandonment. And that's like a lifelong thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a lifelong fear of abandonment thing.
So what if we take this thought and we make it not so picture perfect?
Okay.
What if we say, I want to believe this takes nothing from me?
Okay. I'm all for that.
Okay.
Okay, that kind of shoots down my feeling too.
Well, I think honestly, this is pretty common. I think sometimes we go with the intentional model thinking we're going to create this model and it's picture perfect, but then we can't get there. We can't really get our brains to get there. It doesn't feel right to us.
Right.
Okay. This thought, I want to believe this takes nothing away from me. Does this thought feel like something you can buy into easier?
Yes. And you know what? I felt my anxiety kind of
when
we changed it to that.
Okay. So what feeling does this new thought come up with? You said it changed the feeling. What's the new feeling?
Well, I felt less anxious. I wouldn't say that I felt my original one, I said secure, and I'm going to tell you, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
That was that picture perfect one. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I like that. I guess it just makes me feel, can you say calmer?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Calmer, like less anxious.
Calmer or less anxious. I actually think that's a pretty good idea for, we'll call this the middle model. Middle model.
Okay. I like
middle
that.
Model.
I like that.
All right. And then with calmer and less anxious, what is your action? What's your action line?
Well, my picture perfect one was stop thinking about it and wish him fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's the person I'd like to be.
Is this more of a wait and see action? Just be still?
I think it might
You know, it probably doesn't take the worry away, but does it take the pouting away?
Yeah, I think it might.
Tell me. When you think, I want to believe this takes nothing away from me, and it calms you down a little bit, what is the action line?
Just get on with shit.
Okay. Move on. And the result is, let's see, I want to believe this takes nothing away from me. Movement toward resolution.
Yeah, getting closer to my picture perfect model.
Right.
The thing is it's going to end in a little while, but then because I'm the digital whiz on our music stuff, I said, well, I'll put your list together for you. And then that just brought it. I just went, mm-hmm. when I found she was going to do some of my songs, it was like, mm-hmm. I got, mm-hmm. it felt like it did take something
that's
away.
It's a whole nother model there, girl.
Yeah. But I know, but that's what I said. Like I couldn't live this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. That helps. So
can you live this model? I know it's all over the place, but live the blue?
I think I can. And I think it answered my question because my question I wrote down was, so how do I apply it? How do I live it? And maybe the answer is if you can't apply it, you can't live it. Maybe that's not really the
right.
You're not there yet.
So there's a lesson in No BS called changing your thoughts, I believe, or changing your thinking in Fat Girl Thinking. And it talks about this concept of finding models that help you elevate from the unintentional to the intentional model. Okay, so what you do is you create a model or two in between that kind of stair steps you into that super intentional model, the one that you want to believe, but you're just not there yet. So what you do is you acknowledge the unintentional model. Yeah, that's what I think, but I don't want to think that anymore. I want to level it up. So I'm going to add this. I want to believe. This takes nothing from me.
So level up. That's good.
It's a level up to your model, right? Just a little just a level
step.
Up. Just
it's a step.
Right.
I like it.
And so you create that next level up model with an opener or a closer. It might be something like I'm open to believing, or taking the unintentional thought that he's not going to want to sing with me anymore and saying, and that's just a thought, I think. Right? Which kind of takes the oomph out of it. So you get your next level up model, like this blue one that we have here, and you practice that one. And when that one's solid, then you either jump to your intentional or you find another level up.
Okay.
Okay.
I really do feel calmer. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I really do. Like
it's just because we found a place in between your unintentional and your intentional model.
Yeah.
So that you can practice that thought for a little while and then move on to the next one. And the next one might not be whatever you said it was.
Yeah. It might not be. This takes nothing away from me.
Right. It might be, I'm willing to believe that this takes nothing from me, or, you know, something, you know, I'm ready to believe this takes nothing from me. You know, you're willing, you want to try it here. But maybe you're ready to believe it in the next step, or you're willing to try to believe or something. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Go back and listen to that No BS module.
I will.
She gives you lots of opening and closing things to add to your unintentional and intentional thoughts to create that leveling up into the intentional.
Okay.
And by the time you do all this work, he'll be home anyway.
The thing is that, I mean, he's just my singing partner, but it's just, you know, that's a, you know, you have relationships outside of other, you know, but it's an important one to me. It's one that takes up a lot of my time, and I can't imagine, like, that would just, I mean, I would be like, ooh, I got to change churches. I got to do that. You know,
well, I'm sort of interested in why this is such a big deal. It's his cousin. He asked you to go with him.
It's because we had a trio, and when she left, like, she sent this text that she'd been missing a whole bunch of stuff, because she was watching her grandkids. And then she sent me this text at 5 o'clock in the morning before we had somewhere to go. We were going to go sing for a nursing home, a friend who was dying. And it was basically our last chance to go sing for her. And she said she couldn't go. And so it was like, okay. And that happened. And then she called back that day and said she said she quit. Not just that she couldn't go, but she quit. Mm-hmm. And then she called back the day. And she said, you know, she wanted to talk to him, and he wouldn't talk to her. And she called me and she said, I want to talk to him. I didn't mean I wanted to quit. I just meant right now. And she got all panicky. Well, then the next time he talked to her, she left because of me. And so I felt kind of mad and betrayed by that, because it didn't have anything to do with me. And to be the scapegoat on something.
So what's one way you could resolve that? Would you be interested in resolving it?
I did try. Like, I mean, I haven't ghosted her or anything. You know, I still talked to her comment and like on her Facebook stuff. It's just, I just don't really want to sing with her anymore.
Okay.
You know, but at the same time, I don't want to be, you know, left out because I've worked for 6 long years on the singing partnership, you know? And he's a great guitar player and can sing harmony with anything.
Okay. So why is any of this a problem?
It's not really. It's just in my thought. It's just the thought of it. My thoughts are the problem. That's what I said. I wrote 5 paragraphs, and the only one that I highlighted is that first sentence. That's the only fact in the whole thing. It's all just in my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know.
So you go to work on those thoughts. You do the same thing I told Audrey to do. If you want to resolve this in your mind, because if this is his cousin, he may want to sing with her again. So you can replay this whole thing. You can keep this call on replay if you want to help you, or you can go through those thoughts and decide which ones are really relevant and which ones, you know, you just, that's just,
there really
not something I want to live by anymore.
There aren't any that are, that's what I said. There was only one fact in the whole thing that he was singing with her that day. That was it. It was the only fact. And all of that shit I made up.
What? And you made it up because?
Just fear. Mm-hmm. Just fear. Mm-hmm. So.
And you're afraid of?
I know. I wrote that. What's the very worst that could happen? And I wrote that down. I wrote down, you know, 7 paragraphs. And I decided at the end of it that those, the worst things that could happen were things that I didn't really want to happen. So I just need to move on.
So let's say he goes to wherever he is and he stays there. Then what? What's the worst that can happen? Is that the worst that can happen is that he decides to sing with her instead of you?
Well, it just, I just would, I wrote in here, I would have a big hole in my life. I would have to find a new church, or he would, because that wouldn't work too well. I would either learn to up my game on my mandolin so I could play for myself, or find another music partner. This place that I'm at, my studio right now, and downstairs is a giant music hall. Mm-hmm. That a lot of that would change.
None of that is life shattering.
I know. And I even tried to come up with benefits, but the only one I could be, less driving for me.
Yeah. Well,
that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway, I know the very worst that could happen. I'm not going to die, or, you know, definitely not going to get pregnant. So, you know, so it's not earth shattering. Mm-hmm. It's just, that
all it is
abandonment fear.
It's a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can choose to call it abandonment, or you can just call it a life change.
Yeah.
And then you go to work on figuring it out.
Yeah. So, okay. I do like this middle model thing.
Yeah. The middle model is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. See you later. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Laura, then Monica. Hey, lady.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
All right. I'm doing good.
Do you use the middle model?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, because I have a tendency to get a little bit too Pollyanna sometimes, I would say, with my intentional. Well, that's just perfect, isn't it? And
yeah.
And realizing that it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Alrighty, so I have an issue that I've been working on for a while. I know you and I coached on it. It was around May and Mother's Day, I can remember, where, you know, I travel with work and I go back, you know, when I visit my husband and I visit my family, not disconnecting from myself. And that has probably, I think that's been my theme of 2019, is staying connected with myself and becoming aware when I do and when I don't. And I'm loving it. I have learned a lot from that. So I just got back from a visit with my husband, with my family. And actually last, I think it was Wednesday, I jumped on the coaching call with Betsy and said, hey, let's mm-hmm. talk about this and mm-hmm. tying it all together. It was really good. She really helped me a lot as far as the, you know, again, some thoughts that I didn't even realize I had running around until I started talking about it. And so I had my vacation. I was there for 5 days, just got home. Had a fabulous time. I just win after win after win. I TDL'd every day. I made my plan. My plan was, instead of just good, better, best, because I didn't know, I had the same plan, and I put very, very intentional with my food choices. Mm-hmm. Document everything, assess honestly, and remember my goals. So that mm-hmm. was basically my good, better, best. Mm-hmm. And I did that the whole trip. It was wonderful. The very last, like traveling home last night, I don't want to say it was a binge, but overeat, off plan eat, definitely passed my two. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And so I came home today. I still wrote everything down. I had, kind of made the comment to an accountability partner that I'm not going to discount 6 days of fantasticness for mm-hmm. this one episode. Mm-hmm. And I went through everything, I did my cover sheets, I did all of it, but I'm still feeling like, out of the whole thing I'm looking at, I'm only focusing on this one, like, negative, the one. And so I just wanted to talk about it and process it. Okay. And then even today I was listening to Corinne's, the Facebook Live. I didn't catch it live, but I was re-listening to it, the 5 steps for, not to stuff your face on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I love the live. Mm-hmm. But this one was the one that I was like, ooh, I think this is the one that kind of ties into all of this, where she said, you know, the no efforts. Mm-hmm. It's conscious mm-hmm. versus unconscious eating. Mm-hmm. Effort eating are going numb, and conscious is aware of how I'm eating and not turning that part of the brain off. And I get that. And mm-hmm. I, the next thing I wrote was, like, I can honestly say the last, I don't want to say binges. They're not, the last few times when I've really had like strong overeats and strong off plan eats, even like last night, it wasn't a binge. And the difference, that's the difference. I hadn't put my finger on it. For me, the difference is like the energy behind it. And like last night, I didn't turn my brain off. I knew what I was doing. I was making a choice, and I knew that I was, and I was like coaching myself, not coaching myself through it, but talking myself,
watching yourself.
I was watching myself uh-huh. do it. I was not numb. And mm-hmm. I am really proud about that in the mm-hmm. last couple of times, but it's almost like I feel weird for feeling proud about it. Like, oh no, you're not supposed to feel proud about this. And so I said, interesting. I can honestly say the last several times I've overeaten, it's been from this state, consciously, but definitely aware. Is this the difference of a binge versus an off-plan overeat? And this is good, right? Like, I think I'm confused on the fact that it is actually a good thing, that it's not, a bad thing. That is, maybe that's the middle thought. That's the next plan up as far as.
It could be. Why aren't you supposed to be proud of progress?
Yeah. Because it's still overeat.
Can you see progress?
I can see the progress.
So let's think about that person who weighs, say they weigh 250. Mm-hmm. And now they weigh 230. Their goal is 150. Mm-hmm. Okay. Should they be proud of this progress?
Of course.
It's not the goal. She's still overweight.
That's true, but it's still 1 pound at a time, and it's a lesson at a time, and
right.
it's still the journey of it, yeah.
So yeah. Let's call this 250 a binge, and let's call this 230 a conscious overeat.
Right.
And let's call 150 perfection, which is unattainable, but just
right.
for mm-hmm. you know, no overeats, whatever, no guilt. Right. How about we call it no guilt for overeats? Okay. Just processing. Okay.
Right.
No guilt. So we're at 230. It's progress.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
There might be at 200, there might be, you know, another level up. You know, maybe we have a smaller conscious overeat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you ate last night, but let's say it was half as much. We still right. overeat,
Right, right,
but it was
right.
Smaller. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe we're at 180 here and we have a planned overeat.
Okay.
Still progress because now you're planning the overeat so you can learn more about it. So you can really, have you done planned overeats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still progress because you're still learning. You're still losing weight. You're still, you know, whatever it is, you know, we're just using this as an example of how it's so stinking important to acknowledge your process, right? To acknowledge your progress. I said but both your process and your progress.
Right.
I had a client who, a private client who would binge eat at work. Okay. And after about 3 months, you know, she would binge eat at work every day. After about 3 months, you know, she was binging twice a week. I don't think I'm making any progress, Kathy. I'm like, how can you say that? You've cut your binges by 60%. She's like, oh. But so now what we need to do is dig into the other two. What's going on? Let's find out, you know, what are the triggers, blah, 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 whatever it is.
Right.
You always, always, always have to acknowledge your progress. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. Did you overeat? Yes. Did you do your recovery worksheet? Yes. Did you process it? Yes. It was conscious this time.
Right.
Right? You were actually watching yourself do it. And you were probably taking notes, if I know you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You were thinking about it as you were doing it.
Yeah.
You were probably processing as you were doing it as well.
And I did, yeah. And I did have like a revelation of, you know, kind of connecting the dots with them going, okay, you know, is this, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a, wow, you have repeated this enough now that you're being so exhausted, like tired is my thing. Mm-hmm. Tired is absolutely, where did I write that down? I don't remember. It was a good, like being so tired in instead of like fear of missing out, it's almost like fear of not doing enough. Like when I'm there, I don't want to, like we woke up like yesterday morning, I knew that I wasn't going to be getting home until midnight, but I still was up at 6 o'clock in the morning, went to visit a friend, went to New Orleans, spent the day in New Orleans before getting on the plane, before doing all the stuff that I still wanted to do to like get it in. And the result for me was at the end, I was over it and I was exhausted and I was feeling miserable inside and I wanted to feel miserable physically as well. That was the only like solution that I could come up with that kind of connected the two. Like,
or you were feeling miserable inside and you didn't want to feel miserable anymore. So I'll just eat so that I don't feel miserable.
Well, I don't know if, I mean, the eating didn't, like sometimes that's been the case, but this time I don't feel like, even when I was eating, I didn't feel good when I was eating. I didn't feel like it wasn't even, not that it wasn't that good of stuff. It was stuff that I semi enjoyed.
It's because you ate consciously.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's because you knew what you were doing. That's the difference. I mean, you had that big shiny light bulb above your head going, this really isn't happening here. It's really not working because I'm aware of my own trends now.
Yeah.
Progress. Big progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right? So it can't really.
It's like taking away your whoopee. Right? It's not unconscious anymore. Dang it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's okay. Well, so that is a good thing. And so I can still be. Even I can still also be proud of all the other things, like all the other wins that I had over the weekend with it, and not discount those just because of the tail end of it.
Absolutely. You should really work on looking at that overeating situation and just really planning how you could do it differently next time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you change? What would you think about? What would help alleviate the urge? You know, all those things, just take a look at planning differently the next time. One of the things I wanted to mention before I forgot it, I've heard Corinne say before when she's coaching binge eaters, is that sometimes progress is stopping yourself during the binge and then stopping yourself sooner during the next binge and then stopping yourself sooner than that during the next binge. You're still binging.
Right.
There is still progress to be found. And I think sometimes we get down on ourselves and lose sight of that. It's so, so, so important.
Okay.
You know, you've kind of taken the fun out of the overeats, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking the distraction out of them because you've worked so hard on them.
And they are coming a lot less, like they're a lot less. They're not as like, and even the binges are really fewer and far between. Like I honestly can't like quickly remember my last true binge where I was mm-hmm. just in complete, actually no, now I can, but I had to go back a little bit in that database mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's progress as well. That
yeah, is. Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Interesting.
Does that help?
It does help. It does help. And I'm going to go back through my recovery sheet again and look at it with a different set of eyes again.
Yeah. Look at it. Put yourself in my head. Okay. Because I can look at your recovery worksheet and I just read it and I don't have a lot of should and shouldn'ts in my head about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of, emotion tied to it.
Right.
And think about, that's why I had that question in the planner. What would a coach see about my plan today? So think about it. What would a coach see about your recovery worksheet? From someone with a completely neutral perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Try and put yourself in that mind frame when you're looking at, what would you up level next time? If you were looking at that, if your friend, your accountability partner had filled that out and you were helping her out, what would you see? What would you point out?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I had a question about this. I had to laugh, like, even when I was doing it, what could you have done differently while eating next time? I said, I could have texted or Marco Polo'd my accountability mm-hmm. groups. I mean, I had many who, even at that late of night, could have, mm-hmm. someone would have been up and could have answered. But I didn't want to, didn't mm-hmm. want any accountability in the moment, though, but I could have. Like, I recognized that I could have, but mm-hmm. I also was recognizing that I wasn't being accountable to myself.
Right.
And so...
So the question you need to ask yourself is, why didn't I want accountability?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Mm. That's the question you need to ask yourself.
Yeah.
You knew what did you have that thought? I could text somebody right now, but I think I'll just keep eating.
Yeah. 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 And I just said, I don't want any accountability. And the thought that played back and forth was, I know that I'm accountable to myself. I mean, I know mm-hmm. that, and that I have to give myself accountability. So I was like, no, I don't want any accountability right now. I don't. And I was just tired. Like, I was miserably mm-hmm. tired, and I didn't want to spend the energy being accountable to myself. I didn't want to spend the being accountable to mm-hmm. I mean, I was just so, and that one, I would say 90% of the time, that's what gets me. Mm-hmm. That's what is letting myself get that drained. Oh, I haven't worded mm-hmm. it that way just yet, that drained. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. How can I set myself up when I'm trying to set myself up for success with my plans? That's what I need to be looking at is how do I keep my energy levels?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's energy is so, so, so important.
Yeah.
It's one of those high performance habits I learned about last week in my training. It's super important. The energy you bring into any situation.
Yeah.
Really is super important. So sounds like you've got something to think about.
That's the next step. Yeah, that'll be in my next planning. When I go home again in 3 weeks, I will be planning that much more intentionally as well.
So maybe you needed that overeating experience.
Yeah.
Uncover that. Maybe that was,
okay.
Yeah, maybe it really was okay that happened.
Yeah.
And now you've processed it to the point where you have something to move forward with.
Yeah.
Right. More progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, maybe you can be proud of the work you've put into processing it.
Yes. Yes. That's good. That right there, that new thought, not new thought, new revelation and understanding mm-hmm. made it all worth it.
Yeah.
It really did just shift and took it off my shoulder. That made it all. That's the lesson I needed to learn in it. And I couldn't quite put my fingers on that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn how to protect my energy when I'm traveling. Not just when I'm traveling, when I'm traveling, it is and seeing family, I get depleted more, I guess.
Yeah.
That it's more.
This time of year, this is a really, really good call and a good lesson for anybody this time of year, too.
Right.
Because think about how we as moms and wives and partners and cousins and everything, how we just go, and our energy depletes.
Right.
It's a really, really important time of year to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And to make sure your energy level stays good.
Yes.
right?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Thanks. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and everyone else, all the tribe sisters. This is happy holidays to everyone.
See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye. Monica, you're next. And Monica is the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody's on that wants to get coached, got lots of time. Monica? I'm wondering if Monica meant to have her hand raised. Okay, Monica, I'm going to take you back to attendee because I have a feeling you didn't mean to raise your hand.
Put it in there for me.
So let's see who's next. Mindy. Mindy. Oh, it's my friend Mindy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. My dogs just went nuts. Sorry.
They miss me.
Yeah, they do.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thought I'd, since you had some time, I'd get on and talk a little bit about some of the stuff I've had going on.
Okay.
So I started in a job.
Oh, did you?
Still with the same company, just in a different position. Mm-hmm. And so I have found myself like super mentally exhausted every night because I'm using that frontal brain, you know?
Yep, I get you.
All that business brain.
You have the business up front, right?
So, I found myself extremely tired. And so I'm going to bed earlier and I'm getting more sleep, but on my weekends, I'm just like completely exhausted and drained. So I'm going to bounce off what Laura was talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep well, even though I am giving myself plenty of time in bed. Mm-hmm. I don't sleep well. So, I noticed that I'm not, I don't want to say resisting, not saying no, not sitting with urges when I'm tired. So what are some good ways to combat that? Because I know I'm tired and it's not like I'm up all night with Netflix or whatever, but I just don't sleep well.
Well, let's talk first. Just a second, in case there's any brand new people on here, about what happens physiologically when you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
When you're super tired, your brain is looking for energy, right?
Yes.
If you're not going to bed, it's looking for energy. That primal brain's back here going, we should probably eat because we're about to fall on our face.
Right.
So even if you're not hungry, if you're super tired and you're still pushing through, that brain's going crazy back here going, we should have some Cheetos or something because, you know, we're really tired. So that's
right.
You physiologically can have more urges, right? When you're not taking care of yourself, when you're exhausted, when you're tired, when you're drained, like Laura was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what you want though, is you want tips on how to sleep at night, right?
Well, that or how to deal with those urges when they come, when I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
The way, I mean, I can do the 90-second countdown, which I have not been doing and I need to. Mm-hmm. And I've always been really good about resisting some of those urges. And a couple weeks ago, I was talking to one of my accountability groups. My boss brought in some bagels and I said, nope, I'm not going to have one. Like an hour and a half later, I was like, forget it. I totally want one and I'm going to go get one. And I even said to myself, I know this is not of my plan. I know I'm giving into an urge that I should not be giving into. And I know I need to do a recovery worksheet for it and own it, but I'm going to do it. So okay. I walked up to get a bagel and they didn't have the kind I wanted. So I walked away.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you were picky about your bagel. All right. So you said you were resisting the urge. That's the problem. Okay. Resisting takes white knuckling. It takes willpower. You only have a finite amount of willpower. Okay.
Right.
When it runs out, it's done. It's over. Right. So that's why we talk to you guys about allowing urges. And the difference is when you allow an urge to be there, you just understand that it's there and you don't fight it. Like right now, I'm hungry. I don't know if you, my stomach seriously just let out a big growl. Okay. But I'm not sitting here going, oh, 54 more minutes on this call. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Hold on, Mindy. I'm going to get a snack. You know, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just saying I'm hungry right now and it's okay.
Right.
I have an urge to eat right now and it's okay because I don't have a snack planned and I'm going to have dinner in a little while. So I'm kind of just having that calmer conversation with myself that allows me to be hungry, allows me to have that urge, allows me to be a little bit tired and, you know, understand that it's okay. All right. Now, when you're tired, it's going to, you're going to hit resistance mode faster, right? It's going to be, it's going to take more effort to allow it to be there. And to, you know, really what you should do when you're tired is just go to bed, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, I mean, if you're at work, that's hard to do.
Yeah, if I'm at work, that's not really an option.
Right, that's not really an option if you're at work. But that's kind of the difference between resisting and allowing in an urge. Does that make sense? Does that help? You know, allowing it is just understanding it's there and being calmer about, you know, realizing that, yeah, an urge is a suggestion. This is how it feels in my body, blah, blah, blah. And the resistance is, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to eat. I'm just going to have a bagel. Oh no, I don't need to have a bagel. I shouldn't have a bagel. It's that more urgent conversation, right?
I was going through the, no, I don't need it. I shouldn't have it. It won't get me to my goals. It's not going to help me.
I think a lot of times about traffic with regard to urges. Okay, if I'm sitting in traffic and it's you know, bumper to bumper, I have a real strong urge to start bashing somebody's car or driving on the sidewalk or something like that.
Right.
But I don't act on it. I just let it be there going, I know I can't drive on that sidewalk, so I may as well just sit still.
Yeah.
Because if I was white knuckling it, I'd end up on the sidewalk or going through some neighborhood somewhere and getting further away from home, going the wrong direction just to drive. You know, that's just not, it's not productive.
It's not productive.
Right. So tips on sleep. Is that what you wanted? You wanted tips on sleep?
Sure.
What's your bedtime routine is?
I go to bed between 9:30 and 10. Mm-hmm. And I'll lay in bed and read for usually 15 to 20 minutes.
Reading a book or reading on your phone?
It's on my phone in night mode. So I don't know if that makes a difference because it's a black screen with the white letters.
It's probably still lighting up your brain a little bit.
Okay.
Probably. Okay. What else? All right. So you read for 15 or 20 minutes. What else?
Yep. And then put in my bite splint and turn off the lights and go to bed. We don't typically have the TV on every once in a while. My husband will have the football game on, but it's not normally on.
Okay.
So you have trouble
falling asleep?
I have trouble staying asleep.
You have trouble staying asleep. So you wake up in the night and then what happens?
I lay there and think. Uh-huh. And so I take my magnesium at night. Mm-hmm. So I fall asleep fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. The magnesium has helped tremendously with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But once I wake up, it's like my brain starts going and I don't know how to shut it off.
Okay. We could be the same person. Last night at 3:30, I was thinking all the things that I needed to do today. Here's what I do when that happens to me. I sometimes I'll get up and I'll come in here in the office and I'll make some notes. Seriously,
okay.
Write it down. Because my problem is I'll start thinking of all the things I need to do and I won't want to forget anything.
Right.
Okay. So you can either put a journal next to your bed and tell you have to tell yourself, you have to be real intentional and say, I'm writing this down so I don't forget. and just start writing. And you close the book and go back to sleep. And you tell yourself, now I won't forget. Now everything is right here. I can rest now. Okay. It's almost this self-talk that that I do. The other thing I do is it's kind of a meditation. Like I have one prayer that I will say over and over again in my mind. And last night, I did this last night. So I started saying my Hail Mary. And I get about halfway through and start thinking about everything I need to do again. And I would have to tell myself in my mind, no, we're praying right now. You know, bring it back in. You know, bring the focus back here. And I'd start it up again. And then sometimes I add my fingers to it. You know, I'll say, there's one, there's two, there's three. And it could be any kind of poem or mantra or prayer or recitation or, you know, whatever it is that you have memorized in your mind. And just that's kind of a meditation, kind of a way to bring your focus back down into a calmer place. The other thing you can do, and this probably wouldn't work with my husband. It wouldn't work with a lot of people, but you can actually have a meditation app on your phone that does the same thing. Instead of replaying it in your mind, you can play it on your phone. I don't know how your husband would feel about that going in the bedroom in the middle of the night, but
he wouldn't hear it.
He wouldn't. Okay. So I think it's Headspace. The Headspace app has a body scan meditation. Puts me to sleep every single time. And it's this Australian guy's voice that I find very soothing. Yeah. Oh, nice. So those are some of the things I do. I do not turn on the TV. I do not pick up my phone. I don't do anything that's going to light up my brain. I have actually journaled in the dark before, pulled out my pen and my journal and written stuff down in the dark before so that I don't light up my brain any more than it's already lit.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
The other thing I do is I check the temperature in the room. If it's a little hot, I'm not going back to sleep. I have to get it nice and cool. So sometimes I'm changing into cooler pajamas or I'm throwing the covers off or I'm doing something like that too.
I have noticed a lot of times I've got to kick a few covers off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when you got a heat source in the bed with you, right?
Right.
So those are some of the things that I do that help me get back to sleep.
Okay.
But I will tell you, the more stressed I get about not sleeping, the less likely I am to go back to sleep.
Right.
Okay. The more I go, I can't believe I'm not sleeping. Oh, look, it's the clock. I'm not sleeping. I can't do any of that. I've found out that if I do that, I don't go back to sleep. I just
stress myself. If I start thinking about why I'm not sleeping or... Mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to get back to sleep, it just makes it worse.
Yeah. So Brenda says, she says, I love my bed. It's okay that I'm not sleeping. I'm resting in my bed that I love. And she puts that on repeat.
Okay. I like that.
Anything like that. And I tell people a lot of times, as long as you are laying in bed and trying to rest, you know, you're doing better than getting up and walking around the house and lighting up, you know, checking Facebook and turning the TV on and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's a book that I highly recommend by Sean Stevenson called Sleep Smarter. In fact, one of the reasons I recommend it is because I listened to him read it and he's got a great voice. I have a thing about guy voices, I guess. He can read the phone book to me. But he teaches a lot about In the book, he teaches a lot about how your bedroom, the only thing that should go on in your bedroom is rest. You don't have an office in your bedroom. You don't have, you know, it is your sanctuary. And that's a big deal. He talks about how to set yourself up with a good bedtime routine, what to do when you wake back up and all kinds of things. It's a really, really great book. It's in Corinne's, I think it's in Corinne's Amazon books if you can't find it, but it's called Sleep Smarter.
Okay.
So I highly recommend that as well. Sylvia wants to know, what if the potty is calling me? Once I'm up, I'm up. Well, yeah, if the potty's calling you, you get up and then you get back in bed and you repeat Brenda's mantra or you whatever it is. Joanne has a small MP3 player that she turns on P&P podcasts. Oh my gosh. Does Corinne put you? Don't tell Corinne she puts you to sleep. It always relaxes me to go back to sleep. So anything like that. Okay. Just try different things and see what you can find.
Okay. All right.
Anything else?
No, just plugging away.
You still got that Century Club goal working?
Not in March or April. I've only lost 5 pounds since I quit coaching with you. So I'm trying to figure out where my disconnect is. And mm-hmm. one of my accountability partners said she thinks I need to do the urges course again. Okay. So I'm thinking about doing that. We talked about maybe doing the verbal self-love instead of the written self-love, do the verbal and see if that helps a little bit. And just trying to work through it and figure out where I'm at and what I need to do to get back on track.
Okay.
So the Century Club is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think I'll make it by April.
So what's stopping you?
That's a really good question.
Do you want to coach on it or do you want to like work on it yourself? I don't have any hands raised. It's all you, Mindy. We could go for 44 more minutes as far as I'm concerned, unless somebody else wants to.
Okay, so let's coach on it. So what's stopping me? Like I said, I get really tired and then I make some really bad choices. And some of them are mindless, and I don't know that I don't realize I'm doing it until I'm in it. And then I'm doing recovery worksheets on it. And some of it, I know I'm making a bad choice and I decide to make it anyway.
But you're blaming it on being tired.
I just noticed that that's typically when I have these issues.
Okay.
It's not that I'm blaming it. I'm just saying that that's typically when I notice that I'm having these struggles.
So you're doing your recovery worksheets and that's what you're finding?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking that improving the sleep will help. That's kind of
hoping.
Yeah, it's kind of action line and it might. But tell me what, you know, let's work our way up the model a little bit. If you think about it, you know, you've got tired in the feelings line and eat in the action line. What's the thought?
I think the thought is that if I eat, I will gain more energy from the food that I'm eating. I think that's my thought.
So when do most of the overeats happen? Do they happen at work, at home at night?
On weekends.
On the weekends?
Yeah. Because at work, I've got a very set plan because I've made my plan the night before mm-hmm. and I've packed my lunch and breakfast. So I get up in the morning, grab my lunch and breakfast, mm-hmm. put them in my bag and take them to work. Mm-hmm. So there is nothing else around unless I go to the vending machine, but I don't do that. So I'm really good at work.
Okay.
At night, you know, I've still got a pretty set plan and, most of the time dinner's ready when I get home because either my 16-year-old makes it or my husband makes it, and because they both get home before I do. So it'll be ready and I don't deviate from the plan because we've made our weekly plan together and it's all scheduled okay. out and they know what we're having.
Okay.
My weekends, we go out with family, we are out and about, we eat out more often, and I just find myself making some more poor choices.
Why aren't you making plans for the weekends? On about Thursday night, why aren't you sitting down with these kids and that husband and say, guys, I'm going to need to make a plan for this weekend. Let's make it together.
I'm making a plan. I just am not putting anything very specific on there. I'm back to that good, better, best 2-2 mm-hmm. or out.
How's that working for you, Mindy?
It's not, Kathy.
Right.
So I need to change something.
Right. So maybe the thought is, I should make a better plan for the weekends. Or I can make better weekend plans. Look, I'm all messy. Better weekend plans. Can you make better... Ooh. Can you make better weekend plans?
I'm sure I can. I'm sure I can. I just don't know what I would put on it because a lot of times I don't know what our schedule is going to be. We, like, I know we're going to get up and we're going to go out and we're going to go, I don't know, let's just say go to the mall for the day or something.
Okay. When do you know that you're going to the mall for the day?
Usually in the morning. Or the day before, we're like, okay, here's what we're going to do tomorrow. And then I'm like, okay, so we're going to be out and I'm going to eat out, but I don't know where or, and I know that's not a good excuse.
No, because actually, if you really had your own back on the weekends, you would say, let's go ahead and figure out what we're going to do so that I can figure out what it is I want to eat.
Okay.
And you guys can come along with me if you want, or we can go two places and that's okay too. Because okay. I got my own back this weekend.
Okay.
So are you really tired on the weekends?
Oh yeah. Last weekend I took two naps.
Okay.
I don't ever nap.
So that's having your own back too.
Yeah.
You allowed yourself some rest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. With this new job, I've just been completely exhausted and I know I'm exhausted. So.
Mm-hmm. So you know what the pattern is.
Yeah.
Right. And you really do know how to fix it. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Tell everybody how much weight you have lost.
71 pounds.
71 pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to clean up your weekends a little bit.
I do.
And that family of yours is super supportive.
Yes, they are.
Or to just say, hey, let's try this. And let's see if I can clean up my weekends a little bit because I really would like to lose a little bit more weight. I'm headed for Century Club. I want that plaque.
I do.
I want that plaque.
Really bad.
And you're coming to April camp?
I am doing all sorts of stuff next year. I'm doing April camp. I'm doing Don't Stop Believing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing October camp with, there's 10 of us from the Curvy Queens Accountability Group that are coming to October camp.
Nice.
Yeah.
So 29 pounds by April. It's doable.
Yeah.
You got to clean up those weekends.
I got to clean up my weekends.
Mm-hmm. Got to get some rest.
I do need to get some rest. Mm-hmm. I need to. That's the one thing that this new job has helped me level up my sleep because I'm going to bed earlier because I'm so tired by then.
Yeah.
So, all right, make more specific plans on the weekends.
Yep. Get that family involved. They'll help you. If they're doing it through the week, they'll help you on the weekends too.
Yeah. My husband's lost 45 pounds since July, so he's doing good too. So
nice.
Just
nice.
Need to keep working and you're right. Make more specific plans.
Mm-hmm. Ask yourself every day, how am I going to have my own back today?
Okay.
Because that's what it boils down to. Having your own back.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. It's good to talk to you
again. Good to see you too.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Lisa, then Laura. Hello. There.
Can you see me okay now?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I was calling. I think I've narrowed it down to how to not care if other people see the change in you. Not the physical change, but the mental changes that are going on. Because I feel like I'm a June baby. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've made a lot of changes mentally. Mm-hmm. But got into a big fight with my husband the other night and about the fact that he said to me, I said, okay, I'm going to have to do some thought work about this situation to see this big, long situation we were talking about. But I said, I'm going to have to do some thought work about that and I'll just change how I feel about that so that when the issue is going to come up, I won't get upset about it at that time. And he was said, yeah, right. Like that'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I took that as a reflection of you don't see all of the changes that I've made and that I could do that. So yeah, then I was really upset.
Mm-hmm. You don't see my changes.
Yeah.
Right.
So ultimately I'd like to, it just shouldn't really matter. Should it? I don't know.
So how does this thought make you feel? You said angry. Is there anything else?
Hurt, like hurt. Sad.
Okay.
I was more hurt, I think, that, and I think that's come up in the past with me too, that people, I don't know, don't, but I guess maybe that I don't clearly, people don't understand me or that I don't know, make things clear.
Okay.
Make things clear with you? I don't know.
I got it. Crystal. Oh. Okay. You don't see my changes and that feels hurtful. And what are your actions when you hurt?
Oh, I want to eat.
Eat.
I didn't do that.
Anything else?
I cried. I wanted to cry. And I was very down, especially like the next morning. I was very sad. And so I wanted to do all those things. I did not.
Okay. But do you withdraw?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
No, the withdrawal is a good one. That's okay. Yeah.
So what do you think the result is?
Well, especially with withdrawal, then I'm definitely not showing that I'm making changes.
Bingo. You get the prize, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not demonstrating change. I'm just, that's not exactly what you said, but it's easier to.
That's exactly, yeah.
Right?
That's exactly it, yeah.
Okay. So if this is what's happening, how's he ever going to see change? He's used to, tell me your name again.
Lisa.
He's used to Lisa before P&P,
mm-hmm.
who probably did this.
Yes.
Was hurt, you know, ate, cry, withdrew, right?
Yeah.
And then you get in an argument or whatever happens. And you have this thought, he doesn't see my changes. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing.
Hmm.
Sometimes I do a model like this and I get down here to this result line and I'm like, dang it, that's not the result I want.
True. Right? Well, he did like, so, well, give me an example of the change that you've made or mm-hmm. of a situation where I should have seen this. He says, how mm-hmm. could I, when should I have seen this? I'm like, I don't know. So I'll have to think about that and get back to you. But yeah. Hmm. All right. So how do I get to a point where I don't withdraw? I did good this time. I didn't eat. I did cry, but I didn't, like, I had an exercise class the next morning and I even thought to myself, I could just stay in bed and be sad. And
I don't know why he has to see your changes.
I don't know.
If you had to guess. It
validates them.
Mm-hmm. What good does that validation do?
It's that little pat on the back that I'm doing a good job or that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Can you give that to yourself? Why do you need it from him?
Yeah, how do I give it to myself? Just saying it?
I don't know. How would you?
I don't know.
So I went to training last week and worked on my mindset the whole time I was there. I had decided I was coming away with something good out of that training.
Yeah.
Okay. Just made that decision because, you know, I think I'm a pretty good coach and I'm in a coach training and I don't know, 60%, 70% of the stuff I already knew. So I could have been standing up on the table going, y'all should see my changes. Or I could sit there and say, I know a lot of this, but I bet I can find something else to learn. So I validated myself. And in validating myself and the reason I was there and the reason I chose to be there, I felt really good about where I was in my life and what I was learning and all the things, right? So it's not like, oh, Lisa, you're great today. It's more like, I'm really learning and I'm really developing. And I love that about myself because I'm embracing this work and I can see my own progress. And that's all that really matters. Because his affirmations to you are his thoughts.
Right. And he hates it when I tell him that.
Right. But here's my point. Your thoughts create your feelings.
Right.
His C line doesn't create your feelings.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
Husband says good job is the C line. Mm-hmm. That doesn't create validation for you.
No.
Because the thought could be he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. Yeah.
So when it comes to internal validation, you have to give that to yourself. When it comes to feeling validated, it's created by your thought.
Okay.
I'm blowing your mind, aren't I?
Well, it's kind of, yeah, it's just a common theme in my life. And yeah, it's interesting to see it in places I didn't think that's where it was either.
Mm-hmm.
Just my own.
I don't think we're really taught to validate ourselves.
No.
I don't think as kids we're ever taught to give ourselves, you know, a big high five.
No, they right? really, yeah.
But I think it's super important that we teach ourselves now to do that because that's the way you hit that F line. That's the way you find this validation, right?
Right.
Validated. Always on the F line, created by your thought. And when you feel validated, think about how you show up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You show up like a boss.
Yeah.
All in.
I mean, I did, one of the things I did, I journaled a lot. And I made a list of all the ways I felt I had changed.
Mm-hmm. And
then I did have to kind of acknowledge that, oh, maybe he doesn't see those things because they aren't necessarily things he would see. But yeah. That was where I was trying to get to, that how does it not matter? And it doesn't. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, what matters is that you're validating yourself. Because what happens when you are self-validated and you start showing up differently on this action line and creating new results, he's going to notice the results.
It will show even more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he may choose to acknowledge them and he may not. That's up to him. That's his model.
Yeah. Well, he's great at acknowledging things usually, just this one thing. Like, what?
Yeah. But look at everything he has to draw from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation, I can understand. Yes, that is totally the way I would have reacted to something before PNP. So,
mm-hmm.
And I did even say that to myself, from all the evidence that he has of the way I've shown up, this is, of course, he would think that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay, how do I get around it? So yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Glad
you jumped on.
I'm glad you jumped on too.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of work on this self-validation piece because I didn't learn it either.
Yeah.
And I've worked for a few people in my life that didn't really tell me good job a lot. I had to figure it out myself that, you know, maybe the fact that I wasn't getting a lot of negative feedback meant good job. So maybe I could just tell myself it was a good day today because I just cruised the work. I just did it all.
Yes.
It was a good day. You know, you find little ways to validate yourself and it just kind of, it kind of blossoms and grows.
Yes. I've been writing a lot about trying to find my self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
and I keep getting caught on this worth word. So I like this, this is a validation. I like that validating because it's all tied.
Yeah. The, in Gift of Fat this month, December.
Yeah.
We're going to do a self-worth exercise.
That'll be good.
Yeah. It will be good. I think you have to write five reasons every day for a week about why you're worthy of doing this work. And you can't repeat them. So at the end of the week, you have 35 reasons.
That'll be a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Got to really put your brain to work on it.
Yes.
So now you've got to jumpstart because you're going to start validating yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a very good exercise, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
All right.
Okay.
Got anything else?
I don't think so. That's probably good for today. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye. See you later.
Yep. Bye.
Laura, you're next.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So you're already hitting all of my buttons today.
All right.
Self-worth, validation at work, all the good stuff. All the classics. I guess I was trying to think of how this would tie back into Thanksgiving. And I realized today as I was texting Casey that I was hiding in the locker room eating a granola bar after my boss was yelling that we all tend to revert, even if we have some good intentional models, when faced with some challenges. And so I think what I wanted to talk with you about is just kind of what Laura was talking about, when I'm more conscious when I'm doing things, but I'm still doing them. And so how do you, like, I remember at camp, we talked about jumping into the action line of your new model. And so I feel like I'm almost mentally in my new model, like I'm in the new thought line, but I jump back to the actions of the old model, if that makes sense. And it's almost, I think it's partially habit. It's partially relief. And I think just getting to the point of, you know, that you don't need someone else's validation. Like, you know, I don't need to eat a granola bar in response to my boss yelling. Like, that's not a, it's like a daily occurrence. So I can't eat a granola bar like every time he yells.
Well, the funny thing is, granola bars usually don't fix yelling bosses, right?
No, they don't. Neither does hiding.
So I love the idea of jumping into the action line of the intentional model, because where is the action line in the model? It's right above the result.
Right.
So even if you don't believe the thought yet, and you haven't felt the feeling yet, if you do the actions, you're going to create the result.
Which will then prove the new thought.
Which then proves the thought, makes the thought more believable.
Right. And I think what I'm doing is it's proving that I still believe the old thought, because I'm trying to believe the new thought. And then when faced with the challenge, I'm like, oh, let me go eat this granola.
Right. That's exactly what you're doing. It's exactly what you're doing. You're not giving any, love to the intentional model. You're still hanging out in the unintentional model saying, well, this worked before. We'll just try the granola bar again. Right.
Or like, this feels like I'm doing something, even though it's not anything that I need to be doing at that moment.
So it sounds like it's habit. The, have you read Atomic Habits? So you remember the,
a while ago.
The analogy. I love this analogy, and I've talked about it a couple of times on calls. So forgive me if you've heard it before, but the analogy of the sandhill and the marble. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You know, you've got a well-worn path, right, with that habit with the granola bar now. It's going to take a lot of effort to push the marble down the other side of the hill. And you're going to have to push on it a lot, because this other path is nice and slick and smooth and probably icy if it's wintertime, right? So you have to really, really work and put forth some effort on this new action line in order to create that new path and create the new result.
And it's not like these are surprise situations either. You know, it's not like you climb up to the top of the sand pile and you're like, which way should I go? It's pretty predictable that every day something will come up that's stressful. And if my result or my action is to then jump into habitual, you know,
granola bars.
Right. Which is, it's so, I mean, because it's like I spend my time this week that since July when I started the fellowship, it's so much busier than it had been from January to June. And so I was thinking just while I was listening to you that I had been so much more successful during that time. And I think there was just a greater percentage of change in my mental, you know, capacity for all of this stuff. And I looked at my happy scale and I've lost 15 pounds from January to June. And then I've lost almost 15 pounds from July to now. And so it's not really changing that much. But I think, you know, I look at my capacity to change more and it's so clear that I can't then jump back into granola bars all the time and expect that to go on. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to, I think that the, when you watch yourself change from, you know, like Laura was saying, trying, you know, when you see yourself binging, but overeating, but you're conscious of it, is that really progress? And I guess it is, it has to be, right? I mean,
yeah. If your habit is to eat three granola bars and now you're eating one, that's progress. Right.
Or I'm eating one while texting Casey and she's saying, is that really?
Right. If you're looking for accountability while you're eating.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You have to acknowledge every little bit of progress for sure. Yeah.
Right.
But for you, I would look at why, what benefit is this granola bar giving you? You know, if this is your go-to, you know, what's the
it's more that I get to hide while I'm eating it. Like I go into the women's locker room where my boss can't go and I sit there and I will talk to my accountability group on Marco Polo, or I'll text them, or I'll eat the granola bar. It's just peace and safety and like,
okay,
deferring the inevitable of having to deal with whatever the thing is, which would be the action line on the new model of just taking care of whatever the problem is.
What if the action line on the new model is take a time out without eating?
Okay. Sometimes I do that.
I mean, that could be like your middle model, right? That's the theme of the call, right? The middle model. And instead of let's just handle this, what if there's a middle step here that's, okay, I'm just going to take 5 minutes to gather myself, but I'm not going to.
Right. Okay.
You know, and that creates a result of gathering yourself without eating or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Which proves the thought that you don't need a granola bar to settle down.
Right. Because even if I'm gathering myself, then I'm ready to go tackle things rather than still emerging from granola bar, you know, insulin coma with like, okay, now what's going on? mentality. So, okay.
And that in itself is progress.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't jumped all the way to your intentional model of just going, I got this and moving on, but you're laddering your way up to that intentional model.
Yeah. I started in January, and I think what I'm kind of like bumping up against is that I felt like all of this made so much sense. And I made like, it changed my thought patterns and the way I thought about the world. And I mean, like before PMP, I never could have handled the job that I have now. Like, I mean, and I would have tried, but I would have burst into tears every time he would scream, which is 10 times a day. that's just the way that he expresses his desires for how things should be going. But, you know, now I'm eating a granola bar once or twice a week. It's not the end of the world, but it's like, I think the percentage of change I saw in myself was so vast at the beginning. And now it's so much more incremental that it's almost hard to appreciate all the changes that are still occurring, you know, but when I look at the objective data, it's still happening. So.
And that's what's so important. The same thing happens with weight. You have like a huge change in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then your changes do become more incremental, and they might, you know, you might have in January, you might have another big blossom of changes, who knows, but as long as you're continuously improving, even if it's just 1% at a time, I was reading somewhere that a 1% improvement every day for 30 days is a 30% improvement.
I thought of you when I saw that meme where it's like 1.01 to the 365th is like 37, but you know, one times zero is one.
So,
or one to the zero, you know.
So it's really enlightening when you put it in that perspective, and you really look at your progress and where you're going and whatnot. This boss of yours sounds like he just expresses himself at a high volume,
very directly,
and directly,
which is I mean, and it's as much as it's obvious to other people and they're supportive of me as it, you know, as that is my role or whatever. Like it's become so clear to me how much I am learning in the role. And so, you know, we did a case the other day with another person and it was so not the way that he would do it. And I, you know, there are these moments where I'll see how much it's, you know, benefiting me in the long run. And, and those are the moments when I am totally living this intentional model of I'm here to learn. This is the way that it goes. Like that, that's just how he's expressing himself. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's situational. It's the times when it is more like I should have known whatever thing. And, you know, that is very clear that it, you know, turns to a granola bar.
I should have known. Sounds like a lot of self-judgment.
Right.
I should have known how to coach this better. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But if I harbor that thought, then I'm just going to go after the granola bars or beat myself up or, you know, anytime you say I should have, you know, that's your key to self-judgment. What if you shouldn't have? What if that's
right?
What if that's the call you needed to make in order to learn something that day?
I guess so. But I mean, like, where does that line then, where do you draw that line with things that you actually should have done? Like, you know, I mean, you should pay your taxes. Like, what, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, there are just,
then
like,
you figure out why you didn't pay your taxes.
Okay. All right.
And then you say, okay, I'm going to make sure that actually happened here in this house. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
Husband says, I forgot to pay the taxes. I'm like, great. Now what are you going to do? Right. How are you going to make sure that doesn't happen the next time?
Right. Okay. So be constructive about it instead of judgmental about it. Okay. Yeah.
It's always looking at it from the perspective of how can I make this better next time? How can I prevent this from happening next time? Rather than, well, I should have known better, because you tend to stay there. That self-judgment is like adding a layer of tar onto the actual thing you need to solve, because then you got to get past the tar and then figure out what you're going to do next time. So why not just bypass the tar altogether?
That's a really good point. Cause I think I was stuck in that point, because I think like many people in PNP, we're harder on ourselves than most other people are outwardly to us. And so when I finally met this one person, it was vocally as hard on me when I, as the things I would have expected of myself, it's almost like validation of my own unintentional thoughts. Right. And so hearing that, you know, why as a fellow should I be doing the job of a junior resident? Like that's, you know, we're there to analyze and make decisions, not collect the data necessarily, but someone has to make sure the data has been collected. And, you know, it's also my job to guide them and how to do that. And so it can be both things, but I cannot be, it doesn't help me to be hard on myself for not
having the boss might be
anticipated thinking, every question he might ask. Yeah.
Right. The boss might be thinking, Laura's pretty smart. She can handle this. I'm just going to be straight with her.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what's going on in his mind, or he could be, I've got to get this finished because I got to move on to the 14 other things I've got to do too.
That's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Sometimes when you look at their models, he might just be abrupt and loud because he's got, you know, 14.
Right. And I can see his calendar. So okay. Well, that was very helpful actually.
Good.
Okay. Good. All right. It doesn't help that the surgeon's lounge has all those granola bars right outside the locker room. But if my model doesn't have eat granola bar in it, then it doesn't really matter whether they're sitting there.
Your leveled up model has take a time out without eating.
I like that.
Or that just will be look at those granola bars and ask them what they're solving for you.
Right.
Right.
It's the break. That's what it is. Yeah. So maybe, it's the break, you know, I have all these sticky notes around my apartment that help, you know, with going to the fridge. Mm-hmm. So, maybe I could put one in my locker and And then every day when I get
baskets, yeah, exactly. What somebody says, right? What is this granola bar solving? What is this solving? If it's hunger, you go right ahead and have one. If it's anything else, here's a pad and a piece of paper.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, all Kathy. Right.
Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too. Bye. All right. Is there anybody else? If there's not, let's run through the calendar real quick. We'll wrap this up. I'll keep my eye on the hands over there. So what's going on coming up on December 1st? Corinne is back with her weekly planning and office hours. Zoom. I'm putting weekly planning here on the calendar. Not sure what happened to it. And office hours Zoom. She's been sharing lately with us all of how she plans her weeks and kind of the self-talk she's got going on there and, you know, why she plans the way she plans. So that's Sunday, December 1st at noon central. Then December 2nd on Monday, I am doing the Gift of Fat bonus call, which is going to be all about how to prioritize yourself during the holiday season. All of us who say yes to everything else zap out our energy if we're not careful, because we don't take care of ourselves. So how important is it that you prioritize yourself through the holidays and why? Then on Wednesday the 4th, Betsy's back with office hours. And also on Wednesday the 4th, Corinne has her public Facebook Live. So that's what's going on. We did some good relationships coaching. This call, and I would encourage you, if you have a relationship with someone else or with yourself that you want to examine on a deeper level, that you look at the Transforming Relationships Weekend, which is coming up in March. Super exciting. Corinne and I are doing that together. First time that there's a tag team coaching going on, coaching, teaching thing going on. We're also going to podcast at that weekend, which should be super fun. That's it. That's all I can think about. December's Gift of Fat Month, which is one of my favorites. And we got a lot of cool stuff planned for you. The new No BS is coming out. You guys know about that. It's amazing. Totally amazing. Very cool. Has a maintenance phase in it at the very end. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming here in the PNP tribe. Megan, your hand's raised. Let's see what you got real quick. Where is my little cursor? Megan, are you there?
I think so.
Here you are. Hey.
Hi there.
Well, hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in the dark. I just had eye surgery yesterday, so with me. So, I hear my daughter coming up, so I might have company. Anyway, I came on really, really quick, and I saw Miss Laura, Dr. Laura, on there, who's in one of my accountability groups. I'm like, all right, well, she's gonna talk to you, then I should too.
Okay.
So, I've been coached on weekends before, but they continue to be kind of my trouble area to be just consistently on plan. When I look back at my data and I'm not following plans, it's almost always Friday night through Sunday. So, I don't feel like I'm white knuckling or like resisting things or, you know, dealing with a lot of willpower throughout the week, but I just have that persistent thought of like weekends should be different somehow. So I'm looking for some ideas on
what do you mean weekends should be different. Tell me more about that.
Like relaxing and, you know, more of what we would be, you know, calling exception food or treats or whatever you want to call it, like that after weigh in and we're eating food or commiserate with food or just have like that's when we go out to eat or, you know, those kinds of things.
Okay.
Weekends off the diet, basically.
Okay.
So
weekend is what about, you know, 30% of your week?
Oh, yeah. No, oh, I've done
so, that. So you're off the diet about 30% of the time. Yeah, you know, I've been maintaining
pretty much all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the thought that you need to question, right? Weekends should be different.
Exactly. Yes.
And the feeling is what?
I'm seeking relief. It's kind of that break seeking. I don't know, seeking like indulgence. I'm not really sure. What name? Yeah. Yeah.
I've worked hard. Weekends should be different. Yes, I should get to eat what I want.
We work hard all week and mm-hmm. we do a lot of work on the weekends to get set up for the week. You know, a lot of the errands, the meal prep, I know I'm not supposed to say busy, but we have full schedule.
So why don't you do that on the weekends?
Do what?
What? The food prep, the planning, the scheduling.
Oh, we do. We spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff on the weekends. That's where I've started to, and that helps. Like carrying food prep into the weekend or using leftovers a little bit better. So it helps. It doesn't always. It's kind of a newer habit. It doesn't always make it on. I don't not always remember it when I'm making the plan. As silly as that sounds. Like, I don't remember I have prepped food when I'm making a plan, and so then I'm kind of winging it a little bit more than I should be. Or the kids get up a little bit earlier during what is my normal planning time, and I, you know, make an excuse to wait to plan or whatever the case might be.
Yeah, that's the justified, because you got all the excuses.
Yes, right? They're very cute, but.
So I think what you have to do is kind of what I was telling Mindy. You're going to have to take about Thursday or even Friday with the husband and say, what are we doing this weekend? Because I really want to nail this weekend. I'm tired of this, you know, this no weight loss
circle
thing that I've got going on.
I'm on a hamster. Yeah, I'm on a hamster wheel. It's really frustrating.
And you really have to look at this thought that weekend should be different, because they... You know, when it comes to eating, weekends don't have to be different.
No, they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because I really believe that this is a lifestyle that's 7 days a week.
It is. And weekends should be different.
Except it's in conflict. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the question that you need to work on for yourself is, how can I make weekends easier? How can I make losing weight on weekends easier? And it may not be food prep and all that kind of thing, but it may be really dialing into my plus two or making sure I get all my water in, you know, whatever basics that you're kind of ignoring other than the planning on the weekends. Are you ignoring other basics?
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe you need to start
practicing. I'm usually really good about, yeah.
Maybe start practicing the thought that weekends are as important as any other day when it comes to me and what I need, having my own back.
Yeah.
How can I have my own back this weekend?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like that.
Because if you're
okay,
like Mindy and running out and doing all the things and whatever, and you're not going, I really don't think I need to have a cheeseburger today. You know, I'd like to have a salad. So you guys get your cheeseburger. I'm going to run over here and get my salad. I'll be right back. You know, how can you have your own back? Right?
Okay.
It's so empowering to think.
I usually opt for easy or what feels easy. Mm-hmm. So in the moment.
So set yourself up for easy.
Long term.
So how can I set myself up for easy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Define, yeah, I can work on that.
Yeah. Define what easy is and then figure out how you can have your own back and it be easy. You can really rock your brain on this.
That's food for thought. Yes.
Yeah. And you can get in the tribe.
Yeah.
Get in the tribe and say, how are y'all making weekends easy? Cause I am not, because weekends should be different.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's old, lingering, long practice thoughts that I'm trying to dismantle. And it's some of the stuff that just keeps hanging on.
What happens?
I keep practicing it. So it keeps hanging on.
our brains love routine. And we have really good, strong routines during the week.
Yeah.
So what it takes is really developing a good weekend routine.
Okay.
So
we have lots of things to do. Like, I have a routine. It's just not effective for my goals.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, it's like I kind of in the same cycle every weekend. So there is a routine there. It's just not.
So then all you need to do is look at that routine and figure out where your tweaks need to happen. Where can I level up my routine so that I'm taking care of me and my goals too?
Okay. Okay, that sounds easier than I've been kind of in the I don't know what to do stuck cycle too. So this helps.
Does that help?
Thank you. Yes, it does. Welcome. Thank you. And I have a lot of downtime the next couple of days to think about it. So
good. Yeah, yeah. You do. We have a long weekend, a little bit out of routine.
Well, I had corrective surgery yesterday, so I'm not supposed to technically be on my phone right now, but no screens, no TV, so I can just kind of voice to text and think. So that's okay though. All
right. Well, take care of those eyes; they're important.
Yeah. I gotta go put on my really, really sexy goggles. So. All right. Thank you. Take care.
Say hi to your mama.
I will. Thank you.
Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.